Hey, praise God. So good, so good, so wonderful. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. That's the goal, that's the purpose, that's what we are seeking for, being gathered together, is to lift Him up and give Him the highest praise. Amen. Because the whole heaven and the whole universe and every angel, every living creature around the throne, they are all worshiping the Lamb of God. And to us, even a greater privilege belongs, because we are the redeemed ones, not the angels, not the cherubim. Amen. So unto us it's much more likely to praise Him, to bow down and to do service to Him while here on earth. Praise God. So excited to see you guys, and my heart is just overflowing with the fellowship we have together for so many years. It is just beautiful. It is deep. It is called the fellowship of the saints, but it's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the koinonia, and it's beautiful. I want to thank you for helping us, blessing us, and receiving us in the name of a prophet, in the name of a teacher. Now the reward, of course, goes to you, but that's okay. That's what the Bible says, okay? Oh, praise God. Let me share a little bit what God is doing with us currently, because you guys are supporting us and believing in our ministry. And that's not in vain, because let's start with that. We have a Bible, International Bible School for Europe. And every year it is increasing and giving great fruits. Last year, again, we have 320 students, which are scattered all over Europe. We have students from Germany, Spain, we have from England, and Cyprus, Bulgaria, all over Europe. But the good news is that last year we started four new churches, yeah. The apostolic ministry is really increasing and blossoming. Yeah, these are among our students, so it's a good fruit of the school. And we are still apostling an apostolic network of 35 pastors through Zoom meetings. You know, like every month we will have a Zoom meeting encouraging and just equipping the saints. So the ministry is going strong, praise God, and God is doing great things. The good news is that last year we finally received our green cards, and we are residents legally. Yeah, after 7 years, I always joke that I feel like Jacob working for Rachel, you know. It's good. And the good news is that now we are able to travel legally, go back and forth, and we already planned the big conferences, gatherings, and visiting churches, and they are so excited of having us. And it's gonna be a very intensive but very glorious summer for us to bring the reformation of the gospel of Christ to Europe, you know, to Bulgaria and all these wonderful places. And another good news is that we decided that this year we will launch the Glorious Gospel School in English. So from September we will be open to enroll, if someone is interested and want to know more. My wife has brochures with her, and you can ask her. But the school will start from September. It's gonna be online, and it's called the School of the Glorious Gospel. And we have beautiful things to share with the body of Christ, powerful things, glorious things, praise God. And if someone is interested, I didn't ask permission from Pastor John, but I know he trusts me with that, praise God. He already tasted me and he found me, you know, trustworthy. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, so let's go and have a blessed time, powerful time, quality time in the presence of God with the living word, which the Bible says is living and active. So we receive the engrafted word this afternoon with meekness in our hearts, and we believe that it will bring life and it will bring divine energy, power to our lives, will transform us, and we will get out of this building supernaturally equipped and empowered to overcome the world. Amen. Praise God. So I want to start with a story from the Old Testament, which is found in this is 2 Kings chapter 5. And I can tell you, it's one of my favorite stories. It's a miraculous story of healing and renewal, which took place over Naaman. Naaman was from Syria. He was a great man. Now let me read it for you. Chapter 5, 2 Kings. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. Okay, so you see, he has a great reputation. He's a great man. He's serving the king. He's very honorable. He is also, I would say, in some ways used by God, you know, for the plans and the intentions of God, because he rules all over the earth. Amen. But the Bible says, but the sad news is that he was a leper. Okay, that's not good. You know that. That's not just not good, that's terrible. You know, to be a leper, it simply means you're sick and you're slowly fading away and dying, because this sickness is killing your body, killing the peripheral nervous system. You become insensitive to hot objects, to cold, to pain, to anything. Your body gets injured without even noticing. And actually, it's a great representation of the sinner, because leprosy in the Bible, you know, is compared to sin. That's how sin is killing people, you know, and slowly taking over their lives. And it's a terrible place to be. But listen, this story is given to us so we may learn something, and it may just teach us a lesson. And listen what the Bible says. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife, which she's serving. She's like a slave. She's in the position of a slave in the house, okay? And then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." What? So suddenly, so unexpected. You know, if you read the Bible for first time, you know, these people were, first of all, Gentiles. Okay? Then she's, listen. And Naaman, she waited, Naaman's wife. She was a young girl from the land of Israel. She is in a very humble position, okay? First of all, she is young. And you know, young people, old people don't like to listen to young people, because they still don't understand that much, okay? So she is in a humble position. She is young. Then, listen, folks, she is a slave. Okay, that's very humiliating. That's very low position. And the third thing, though, is makes the difference. But she is from the land of Israel. She is from the nation of God. She is from the land which God has chosen for His nation to dwell, and to perform, you know, to put on display his miraculous power and make him, you know, to influence the whole world. And that makes actually the difference, no matter what her status was, no matter what her social status or position or age or background. The most important thing is that she was from the land of Israel, which simply means she knows and she sees, she knows God, she sees things from a different perspective. Her mind calculates, considers, and is reasoning in a different manner from those who are godless, who don't know the Lord. And I really appreciate that girl for us this morning or this afternoon. You know why? She had the full right to be, let's say, bitter, in anger, disappointed, discouraged, you know, even to hate Naaman and to think, oh, he's a Gentile. They captivated me. They took me out of my homeland. They brought me here. They made me a slave. Let him suffer. But that was not what was found in her heart. And I'm telling you, folks, this little girl can teach us this afternoon many, many good things. Because you see, she's from the land of Israel, but she's in Syria, and she's in a position serving Gentiles. But do you know that we are in the world? Yes, you know very well. But the Bible says you are not of the world. Your heaven, you have a heavenly origin. Your origin, your spiritual origin is from above, okay? Paul says, as is Jesus the heavenly one, so are those who belong to him from heaven. We are citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, the Bible says. We have a spiritual origin which proceeded out of the very womb of the very Spirit of God. Those who received him, he gave them the right to become children of the Most High God. But then we find ourselves in a world which knows nothing about God the way we know, doesn't pay attention, doesn't care, and doesn't serve the purposes of God in the same manner. But you know what? Just like this little girl who brought the huge transformation, I would say even revival in the house and in the land of Syria, we too are appointed to influence and bring great impact over this world. We are not supposed to murmur and to see things, you know, from the perspective of the negative. We are here with a different origin, and we see things according to the eyes of God and his plan unto salvation. And that's absolutely amazing to me. Because listen, folks, she had confidence when she said and declared that there is an option, an opportunity for her master to be healed, you know, from his leprosy. She had boldness and courage, which I just don't understand. Because she had never seen, never experienced, and never been a spectator of anything like that. Naaman was the first leper, if you remember, healed in the Old Testament. Why? Not because of someone great, because a little girl dared to believe and to remain miracle-minded even in the midst of her life, her situation, and her environment. Ooh, praise God. Do you see? It's very easy. It's very easy to read the story and to nod your head. But imagine the confidence. Imagine if she says, oh, he will receive healing. Then Naaman goes to Israel, and Elisha says, no, you are not accepted here. Go back home. You are Gentile. We won't grant the healing to you. Or maybe it doesn't work for some reasons, you know, like sometimes it doesn't work with our prayers or something like that. That's why we don't say 100% what will follow. We say we will pray, we will believe, we will trust the Lord, But she doesn't say anything like that. Can you see the confidence of a little girl believing the final result like there is no other option? Woo! Praise God. He would receive, definitely he would receive his healing and be get rid of his leprosy. Although she never saw that, it was not recorded in the history, in the chronicles, never happened anything like that. And it's still echoing hundreds of years later, still the faith and the attitude of this little girl, what she brought, you know, and as a result in the life of these people, still echoing hundreds of years later in the ministry of Jesus. He's pointing to his fellow citizens because they're still slow to believe and to trust him. And he says many lepers were during the time of Elisha. Only one got healed. Isn't that amazing? Only one received his healing, and he was a Gentile. You remember that? Jesus is pointing. Folks, I'm telling you, your faith, your courage, your being miracle-minded can tens of years of generations later still having an impact, still emitting influence, you know, in the history, in the environment, and in the world we're living, like with this little girl. Oh, wow, wow, wow. Bow down and worship the spirit of faith which she had. I don't know which place she was, but she knew. And you see, why she dare to with that kind of approach, you know, the whole situation? Because she is from the land of Israel. Her mind is thinking in a different way. And in that time, Elisha, his ministry, and the miraculous power of God, you know, operating in his ministry and life were a factor. Okay? A factor. And you know, we have a greater factor today. We have the Word of God. We have the Gospel. We have this amazing knowledge received and put on display by Apostle Paul. We are living after the cross, which absolutely makes difference in the dispensations, you know, in the attitude of God. We possess the Spirit of God. We possess the same power which, raised Jesus from the dead on the inside. We have the Holy Spirit, the anointing. We are called Christians, which means the anointed ones also. Amen. Christ is not the second last name of Jesus. It's the title that he was anointed by God, you know, to operate in this world under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Then those who followed him started calling themselves Christians. You know, the Jewish society in the beginning was calling, the official, title was people who are following the way, or some kind of a way, okay, a manner or something like that, religious stuff. But later on, in Antioch, they turned that into something else, and they said, we will call ourselves Christians, anointed ones. We receive the unction of the Holy Spirit. Woo, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when Naaman heard that, he said, oh, I will give it a try. Really? She says, yes. Yes, he is a prophet. He is a miracle power in operation in Israel. We are different people. We are God's people. We heal sicknesses. We defeat the world and the enemies and the darkness and the power of darkness. We overcome, praise God, and stuff like that. And he goes, oh, okay, I will go there. And he goes to his master, takes a letter, and goes to the land of Israel, heavy loaded with gold and silver. Are you with me? If you calculate, the amount of gold is given in the Bible, and you can calculate it, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. It's like a ton of gold, you know, and silver and precious presents and clothes and stuff like that, heavy loaded in order to pay for his healing and deliverance. And when now pay attention how he perceives the matters. When he arrives, he goes to the king and he gives a letter to the king. And in the letter, when the king read the letter, he tore apart his clothes because he said, see, the king of Syria is trying to find a reason to quarrel with me and to have a war or something like that, a conflict, because he sent these men to me to heal him from his leprosy. And listen, folks, and the king says, am I a god to heal, to bring life or to bring death? Who is able for things like that but God? He's so desperate, he tore apart his mantle. He doesn't know what to do. And he's a great representator of the world. I appreciate science, very helpful. You know, medical knowledge, everything, it helps, it's great, but cannot be greater than our Lord. Because there is a level in which, you know, they cannot help and they cannot change. But God rules over every human level of ability, praise God. And Elisha heard what happened and he goes like, why the king has torn apart his apparel? He is not appointed for that. Bring him to me. Bring him to the church. Bring him to the body of the believers. Bring him to the prayer group. Bring him to this little gathering of people who trust God, know God, serve God. Bring him to me and he will see something. What he will see? He will see that there is a God in Israel. Whoo! I don't know about the world, but there is a God in the church. There is a God in your life, in operating and being active, you know, and manifesting and ruling and reigning. There is a God in our hearts, in our families, in our gatherings. And this makes the picture and the story different from what the world can accomplish and expect. Woo! And then send him to Elisha. And he comes to Elisha. And Elisha even doesn't go out of his little whatever, you know, shackle. And send his servant. And the servant goes to Naaman. And he goes like, my master said, you should go right there in the river of Jordan and dip yourself 7 times and you will receive your healing. Now, oh boy, shukarababa. Naaman goes like, why not honoring me? I am a great man. I am in this position. I am having gold and silver, and he even, that's very rude, by the way, you know, he doesn't go out. I expect that he will come out and will do his tricks, you know, will wave his hands or his wand, magic wand, or do some kind of, sorcery or something, which will definitely kindle the healing, the miracle over my body, stuff like that. But he got totally disappointed because the purpose was that he may understand that it's the Lord, it is God, it's not human power, it's not a sorcery, it's not the way Gentiles, you know, perform, the priests of their temples and stuff like that. Woo! And he's ready like to leave. And then the servants, they fell down. Master, please. Please listen, if he would have asked you something great, wouldn't you do it, go for it? Yes. So why not just give it a try? It's not a big thing. And he goes like, Yeah, because they were really afraid that they go back and he's angry all the way, you know. And boy, oh boy. Folks, can you see what's going on in Israel? Can you see at that moment how close he was of, you know, rejecting or just missing the point and going back? But the girl was not considering, think about that, not considering the risk. She considered the option, the opportunity, the availability. And that's the way we should walk. We should approach every matter. Because every time I see someone in a wheelchair or in a bad condition and I have pity in my heart, let's say in Walmart or something like that, and my heart jumps like, go pray for him. And my natural mind goes like, no, don't go, because what would have happened if nothing happens and you will be ashamed and humiliated, blah, blah, blah. And I go like, shut up and dance. Don't listen. No, of course, there must be some sense of, you know, understanding and sound mind and stuff like that. But still, when the Holy Spirit jumps in you, learn from this little girl. Oh, the Lord said it will be okay. Yeah, speak, 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 speak the word only. Praise God. And now he goes to the river, oh boy, branches and leaves and frogs. And he finally made it, seven times. And he starts performing according to the commandment. And finally, when he is done, listen what the Bible says, pay attention. The Bible doesn't say he got healed of his sickness. The Bible doesn't say he got rid of his sickness, of his leprosy, whatever. No, no. The Bible points to the miraculous transformation which took place. And it says, and his skin, which, you know, leprosy is actually your skin rottens, you know, it's just falling apart. And his skin became like the skin of a little baby. Have you seen a baby recently? So pure, so soft, no marks, no any marks of injuries. He was a man of war. Can you imagine his body, you know, and leprosy and stuff like that. You know, old people, they get spots, they get all kind of things on their skin. But little baby is so pure, so amazing, you know, the way the skin looks. And it always draws you to kiss it, you know, to smell it, because they're pure in their innocence, you know. They're so sweet, so amazing. And that's what happened to Naaman. Imagine when he went back home and his wife saw him. Entirely new, because of a little girl sharing, you know, about the power of God and being miracle-minded, totally possessed by the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. That's great, folks. I'm telling you, that's great. And you know, we can go on and on. But so, you see, as I told you, Elisha was a great factor that time in Israel. But we also have a great factor, which is Jesus, the name of Jesus. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He appeared to Paul on the way of Damascus. The light Paul saw, the Bible describes, it was a noontime, but the light he saw from Jesus, you know, emitting, the Bible says it was greater than the sun. Are you with me? Greater than the sun, which simply means what Jesus currently possesses is greater than the greater representation of glory, light, whatever we have in the world. His light was greater than the sun in such a manner that totally blinded Paul, you know. Wow! In this light, when it shines in our darkness, darkness has only one option, to leave and disappear. Praise God! If you have Jesus, the apostle says, you have light. Praise God. And if you have light, darkness cannot remain in mutual coexistence with the light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You see, The first miracle Jesus performed was a result of his mother giving it to him. If you remember, they are in Cana of Galilee, and the Bible says his mother and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. So let me tell you, John the Beloved was a relative, close relative to Jesus, from mother's line, okay? And the mother was also, but Mark. John the Baptist also, but John was a far cousin of Jesus' family. Anyway, listen, the mother was responsible. Women with a rank in the society would be responsible for the wedding, to take care for the protocol, for the catering, you know, stuff like that. That's why she's the initiator. When they run out of wine, it was on her in some ways, you know, for the provision and for the lack of wine, taking care of the celebration and everything. And now she turns to Jesus, and she turns to the servants, and she turns to Jesus and she says, they don't have wine, they're out of wine. And then Jesus says, what we have, what is between me and you? And we don't understand that, but Jesus is telling her, you have the power, you have the authority, you have to give it and transfer it to me, and then I will take care. And then she turns to the servants. Are you with me? Stay with me. Listen. And she says, whatever he tells, do it. And then Jesus says, go fill the jars, you know, with water, and then bring to the master of the ceremony. And now it was turned into the best wine. And the Bible says that was the beginning of his manifesting his glory and the beginning of his miracles. Do you see something here? That Jesus, in the mind of Mary, okay, in the mind of his mother, Jesus is not ordinary. Jesus is extraordinary. Jesus possesses powers and abilities beyond what the natural, you know, can accomplish and hope. She knows those things. She was a woman of faith. She was a woman of divine encounters. She has experienced an angel from heaven who brought that. She was not just, you know, by herself. She has been well taught in the scriptures. If you read history, you know, she was raised in a very devoted family to the holy scriptures and to the manners and the culture of Israel. And now she knows that Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is a miracle child. And definitely she has seen many, many things which the Bible says she kept them in her heart. From little child, you know, they found him in the temple and they got blown away. What are you doing here? Why you left us? And then he turns and he says, don't you know that I have to be around my father's business? That's the first phrase which is recorded from the mouth of Jesus in the scriptures. I have to be around my father's business. And the last words, if you remember, was, it is finished. He did a good job, amen? But I mean, many things like that happen in the process of Jesus growing up. So finally she knows more than the rest of the people. So when this time came, that humiliation and shame, they're out of wine, the celebration like will be marked by poverty and lack and disappointment, she turns to Jesus, because Jesus is a factor. Jesus is a miracle factor right in the midst of this gathering, and she knows it very well. And instead of going with the natural, she turns to the supernatural. She turns to Jesus and she commands the servant, whatever he tells you, do it. And I'm telling you, your mind sometimes doesn't, your natural mind, okay? The old mind you obtained from the first Adam. You got born again before you, you got born again. Sometimes knows according to the world, but knows nothing according to the Lord. And sometimes it's the first one to jump in opposition and objections and reasoning and human logic and stuff like that. But we have a great factor to consider. Folks, it's not a recommendation. It is a commandment. The phrase, don't be afraid, is not a recommendation. It is a commandment, holy commandment by God. Don't give your mind to fear, to panic, to anxiety and stuff like that. But keep your mind in the sphere, in the sphere of faith and trusting the Lord and knowing that the supernatural and the power of God are more great and more powerful than everything, with every limitation we face in the natural. How about that? She goes like, come on, whatever. And sometimes I have to tell my mind, you shut up, whatever he on the inside, the greater one, the Bible says, greater is the one who is in us than the one who operates in the world. You mind, shut up and listen to him. Don't give to panic, to fear and stuff like that, because Jairus came, and asked Jesus, come and heal my daughter. And Jesus was, the woman with the issue of blood, she got her healing. So he lost like an hour hanging with her and the crowd and everything. Then they proceeded further, but the servants of Jairus came and they said, it's too late, she died. And imagine the shock, imagine the hopelessness and everything, which for like a second totally overwhelmed him and fell on him like a dark cloud. And then he's like, what? Yeah, sorry, master, sorry, she died. Now, don't trouble the rabbi anymore, because she's gone. Raise up your hand. Yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But Jesus is there. Jesus, say with me, Jesus is still there. Jesus is still there. Jesus is still there. He turns to Jairus. He has a different point of view, different opinion, different intention, different expectation from what the surrounding environment is being overwhelmed. He turns to Jairus and he says, don't be afraid. Don't give up to fear, to panic, to anxiety and stuff like that. Only continue to believe as before when we started together. Praise God. Jesus goes there and she goes like, she is not dead, she's asleep. And they started mocking him. And he's nuts, he's crazy. You see how difficult it is to be miracle-minded sometimes in an environment of unbelievers. But he remained adamant. And he said, okay, now you get out of here. All the unbelievers, the mocking spirits and everything, clear the atmosphere. He took only strong believers with him. They gathered together in unity. And he said, Talita Kumi, girl, young girl, I'm telling you, rise up. And the girl stood up and started talking. And he gave her to her parents. And they started rejoicing. And actually, people got blown away. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. She is not dead. She is asleep. Can be translated. It's not like it looks like. Okay? It is not exactly what you see and what you consider with human logic. Things are actually greater than what you can perceive at the moment. Oh, praise God. Praise God. That's us. This is written for us, John says, so we may believe. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just want to share two stories, and not for long, and then I will pray for you. But it's going good, praise God. Something is working on the inside. Amen. Amen. So, and Jesus is with 5,000 people on the mountain, and then 3 days, you know, teaching and being with him, and they are out of food, and there is no food, and Jesus now has a desire and intention to bless them and to feed them. And listen what the Bible says. He calls Philip, okay, and is asking him a question. Stay with me. And in this question, he's asking Philip where we can find bread to feed those people, because my heart goes with them. I don't want them to faint on the way back home. That's our good shepherd, okay? But if you read carefully, the Bible says, with asking the questions, the Bible says, he already knew what he's going to do. Isn't that powerful? Folks, he already knew what he was going to do, but he is provoking these folks around him in order. He knows that centuries later we will read the Bible, so it is profitable for us to know the depth of the story so we may take advantage and apply how to live victoriously, miraculously in our lives. Otherwise, it wouldn't tell us. Amen? But the Bible is giving us that. He has a plan. He has an intention. He has a desire. Now he's asking folks around him how they're going to do it. Now, two people intervene in action. The first one is Philip. He goes to Philip. Philip is a Greek name. Philip is a Greek mind also. Greeks are searching for wisdom. They try to reason, to calculate, to, with their philosophical, natural mind. And actually, Philip, also translated in English, means fond to horses, loving horses. And if you read the Bible carefully, you will sooner or later come to the conclusion that God is not fond of horses. No, he doesn't want you to rely on horses, military power, chariots, and stuff like that. For a long part, Israel had no horses, no chariots. They had slings, they had the Lord, they had sticks, you know, and shofars. That was sufficient. Okay, but Philip is fond to horses, so he relies on external power, natural power and abilities and stuff like that. And his answer is the following. He goes like, oh, let me teach you something, Rabbi. Okay, a whole year's salary, a whole year's, that's a long period of time, won't be sufficient for us to buy food for these folks, even to taste a morsel. Mm-hmm. I have something here, you know. And let me ask you, why calculating, why planning according to the natural, since he already knows what he's going to do? He's not asking you how or when or stuff. He's asking you, let me check and see, are you ready to cooperate with my intention, with my miraculous power, which is ready to be released over these folks? Then the story doesn't end there. Praise God. There is a second version. Another guy comes and steps in. His name is Andrew. What does Andrew mean in English? It's a good name. It means courage and boldness. Courage and boldness. And Andrew, he doesn't calculate. He's not reasoning like Philip. He doesn't care that. He's just bold and courageous to step into the moment, in the momentum, with faith, cooperating the miraculous power of God, no matter what is available and what is in hand. He takes 2 fish tacos, small ones, you know, and hand them to Jesus, and he goes, here we have some bread. Now, I know it's not much. I know it may look like a joke, but I don't care. All I care is to say yes to my Lord, amen to his intention, and boldly to cooperate with his, will and desire to bless. I am stepping in and I'm presenting my little thing to him. And Jesus, that's what kindled the whole result of everything in the story. Jesus took those two fish tacos, those little things he took. He didn't answer Philip. He didn't went with Philip's version. Are you with me, folks? He didn't like it. He didn't go in that direction with Philip's version. That's not a good version. Never go that way. Go the way of Andrew. Praise God. Oh, I don't care. It may look like impossible. It may look like a joke. It may look like it's not gonna work. I don't care. I just step in boldness and courage of faith, cooperating with the will of my master. Praise God. He took it, boom, and started multiplying. It worked actually in a great way. And God can take, you know, those things which are despised of the world, but he can use them. And it's all over the Bible. David killed Goliath with a sling. You know very well, with a stone and a sling. But before killing Goliath, stay with me, before killing Goliath, he's prophesying. He's seeing beyond the natural, beyond the visual, beyond what is available. He says, today I will take your, I will behead you, I will decaptivate you, you know, with the power of the Lord. Now wait a minute, let's say I'm a spectator. What did he say? You will cut his head? How? With a sling? It's not gonna work. No, he prophesied in the spirit, because later on, when Goliath fell down and kissed the dirt, David ran, took his sword, which was his sword, and killed Goliath with the sword of Goliath. Can you see something here in action, you know, which is beyond what is available, which is beyond what is in your hand, which is beyond what you can do in the current moment? You prophesy, the Bible saying, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the redeemed say so, praise God. Why is it working that way? Because you read Hebrews. Through death, Christ defeated, thoroughly defeated the one who had power over death. Which simply means Christ used the weapon of the enemy, which was death, to be released on him in order he may destroy him who has power over death. And actually it's a prophetic picture. What David killing Goliath, he killed Goliath with his weapon, which simply means using his means, and Jesus used death to destroy the one who had power over death. Amen. One last word, and I would invite you for prayer. It's an invitation. It's a holy, glorious, supernatural invitation. Martha meets Jesus when Lazarus died. And she meets Jesus. I love this expression. Oh, praise God. Listen what she says. She's devastated. Okay. This is John, the Gospel of John, the story of the resurrection of Lazarus, 11, verse 22. 21, 22. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Okay. Disappointed, bitter, stricken by grief. We understand that, but that's not the end of the story. Stay with me, folks. Stay with me. Verse 22. But even now, say with me, but even now, oh, in this case, in this situation, no matter what happened, even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. God, even now. And I want you to take that like a sword, okay, in your hand, like a weapon, to be equipped with it, that no matter what you face, tomorrow, 1 year later, you know, barriers and limitations, it's like too late and stuff like that. You can go with that word. Even now, when it's too late and 5 days after Lazarus died, I know. Somehow, that was, the first one was the natural expression. The second one is a prophetic expression of the Spirit in her heart, you know, her supernatural faith. And she couldn't just stop with the first one. Don't stop with the first one, never. Always go beyond the natural and with faith and with confidence that even now he's still able, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they said, if you kill us, if you destroy us, it's okay, we're ready to die. But let us tell you something. Our God is able, if he wills, is able to deliver us even from your furnace. Oh, praise God. Even now I know. And then Jesus goes, yes, you said well, your brother will rise. And she goes like, I know this theology, you know, in the last days he will rise from the... Jesus goes like, no, I mean, I am the resurrection. You don't have to wait for the day when the fulfillment is here. I am the substance. I am the filler of that day. Don't wait for the day, because I hold eternity in my hand, and actually the one who stands before you is the fulfillment, is the substance of this resurrection. Oh, praise God. Do you believe? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And then he goes, where you laid him, they go there and they stand before the tomb. And listen, folks, this is my invitation. Jesus says, now roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. And they go, what? Master, let us teach you something about our nature. He is already stinking, you know, his flesh is decaying for ugly, not good, stinks, you know, what are we going to do there? It's not a good picture to be involved in and stuff like that. Jesus' answer, are you ready for our explanations, for our reasoning? He goes like, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Folks, come on. Doesn't say, because usually that's the way it works for us. First I see the glory of God, then I believe. No. First you believe, then you see the glory of God. I bless you. I bless you this afternoon. I bless you with this encouragement that every time you face a limitation, you face a trouble, this mind comes to you, this thought. First, I will believe, then I will see the glory of God. First, I will shout in victory, and then I will see the walls of Jericho crumbling down. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Praise God. Let us stand up, praise the Lord, and embrace the holy intention of God to give us the mind of Christ, to prepare for us a miracle mind, and to become a miracle minded with a miracle mindset living in this world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if you have faith and expectation, come forth. Come forth. We will pray. We will lay hands. We will declare healing, restoration, new life, breakthrough, miracles for you, for your relatives, for your family, for your country, for whatever you're expecting. We will believe and trust the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship. Worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. Touch my heart, Lord, I worship you. Yes, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship. Worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. We thank you, Lord. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yes, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are, Lord. That is who you are. 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 That is, yes, that is who you are. Is who you are, Lord. That is who you are. 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 Yes, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Jesus, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. We're gonna believe it before we see it, Lord. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are, Lord. Yes, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That That is who you are. 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 That is who you are, Lord. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Yes. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who.